Hello, my name is Sophie Aldred, and you, yes you, are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 391. I'm Adam, and I'm very busy and don't have a quote, and here's Debbie Melrose.
Did Anna ever mention she had a problem with spiders?
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Oh my God, it got Kevin!
Very good, yeah, very good. Yes, this week we're going to be looking at arachnids in the UK, as opposed to the episode that was just finished about 10 minutes ago. So we'll get straight. Is that all right with everybody? And everybody wants anybody wasn't on last week that wants to talk about the previous episode? I think it was called Rosa. Oh. Was it Rosa? I
can't remember. Let me just say it was wonderful. The best Doctor Who, among the top Doctor Who I've ever seen. Period.
Slight exaggeration.
Fantastic.
The funny thing about talking about the Rosa Parks issue, and I don't know if you listened to last week's show, and if you don't, you really should have point deducted for every show you don't listen to, Kirby. But
I listened.
Did you? So you heard the bit when I said I'd actually never heard of Rosa Parks. Oh,
did
he's gone
you say
quiet.
That?
Oh, sorry. So you did listen then, did you?
Yes, I did.
You did. Okay.
I heard Dr. Phil come on and make some very good points.
Okay.
And,
well,
yes.
I'll accept that you fell asleep during that bit. But yes,
we were quite shocked, weren't we?
The episode of Big Bang Theory that I happened to watch straight after that episode, there were several references to Rosa Parks. And I thought, that's really weird. I've never heard of this woman. And then watching an episode of Big Bang Theory where they're talking about a woman I've never heard of. So there you go.
Oh, what you know, Julie and I have been rewatching Big Bang Theory. What episode? What's that?
Oh, somewhere in the region of Series 9 in the early days, because I'm watching it quite regularly now, because Series 12 has started on E4 now and on iTunes. iTunes is slightly ahead, and I want to try and get up and catch up before the series ends. So I'm watching it speed watch.
Yeah, we're watching it regularly as well. And I still haven't watched last week's episode yet, and I also haven't seen last week's Young Sheldon. How do you like Young Sheldon?
Young Sheldon is fantastic. Are you? What, is it series one on Young Sheldon?
No, we're in series two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, brilliant. At least we know series two is on its way. Fantastic. No, I haven't seen it. I've watched all series one, but none of series two because it's not here yet.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's a great show. Okay. Arachnids in the UK begins with a beautiful new Doctor
Who.
Well,
it's the right time of year.
It is.
I absolutely love this title sequence.
Yes, as I was saying, the beautiful title sequence. And then we sort of have a sort of spooky floor riding camera sort of view of some places.
Yep. For a second I thought we were in the Overlook Hotel.
Yeah, spider cam.
Yeah. Obviously at this stage we don't realise that it's supposed to be a spider's view of the... of course, if there was a spider in the room with that nasty man from Sex and the City.
Maybe.
I've never seen this guy before.
Well, you haven't seen him in Sex and the City?
He was Mr. No. Big in Sex and the City. You need to catch up.
So I'm supposed to watch Sex and the City. Nope, sorry.
Of course, now, this man here is is supposed to be depicting a sort of Trump... administration attitude to
the
professors things.
To not like Trump, but is in effect.
Yeah. He is essentially Trump. Yes.
Yeah, and I think it's a bit silly to myself. And I thought I felt myself even when he comes on the screen, I found myself feeling very uneasy straight away about the character. But never mind, we'll move on to that later. So he's initially not a very nice man, and
that's basically all the way through. I thought he was the only wrong thing in this one.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So an Asian lady walks in with a big nose and gets fired.
One of my favourite.
I knew immediately that had to be Yaz's mom.
Yeah, of course it did.
She's amazing.
Yes, good actress. She used to be in Dinner Ladies and Coronation Street, so it's a shame Mary's not on.
Dinner Ladies is one of my all-time favourite things ever.
It's a shame Mary's
apparently
not on.
Apparently, she's one of the few people who's been in both of the major British sitcoms besides Coronation Street. She's been in, what's the other one?
Sitcom?
I think, yeah, sitcom. I would say Coronation Street is indeed a sitcom.
I'm sorry, soap opera.
Are you talking about Benders?
Has she been in EastEnders?
Yeah, she's been in EastEnders as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Why did I say sitcom? I don't know.
Because they're both...
I don't watch these things.
Depressingly funny. After this little scene of, obviously, what is going to be Yaz's mum gets fired, we have a pretty scene of the TARDIS flying around looks like a honeycomb.
I love the time vortex.
You do?
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay. Anyway, so it's flying around, and after a bumpy ride, eventually lands in Sheffield. And
actually, bang on, since she's supposed to as well for a change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
explain to me: the Chibbers from Sheffield? Why is this set in? Why have we concentrated on Sheffield this season?
Why not?
Well, we used to be in. Whale-centered for a long time.
Yeah, that's stereotypical because it's made in Wales. But why should they always be in Wales?
But why should they always be in Sheffield?
Why not?
I was wondering that, and I thought maybe it was just to harken back to Eccleston era. Well, every country, every planet has a north, and I was just wondering if they were just using that more than anything else.
Eccleston...
It's really quite funny, because when I watch Doctor Who, my northern accent comes back.
Oh, dear.
So this is the north, okay.
Yes, yeah. This is the north.
I don't really know.
so much of being Anglophile.
I'm from the north, and it's only after watching Doctor Who at the moment and talking to my dad that my vowels go funny, and people say I sound like Doctor Who, and it's like, actually, she sounds like me. I'm older than her.
Anyway, as far as it being in Sheffield, yes, they've concentrated on being in London, they've concentrated on being in Cardiff. You know, it's not an issue. They decide at the moment that because all the characters, the companions are from Sheffield, mainly. Obviously, Graham's got a Cockney accent, but he lives in Sheffield. So, obviously, they're going to have Sheffield as the centre point.
He's definitely my favourite, Graham. And this last episode definitely cemented.
Graham is a fantastic character. Bradley Walsh is a fantastic character.
I haven't really looked closely at the TARDIS as they're walking around outside deciding whether or not to go up to tea. Mm. They've changed the windows.
Yes. So.
We saw that in the Ghost Monument.
Yes.
I didn't pay attention to it then.
Oh, dear.
Oh, we talked about it.
We did.
Anyway, yeah. Back to the story.
I was probably off on a tangent looking up something else.
Right, thank you. Back to the story. They all head off back home, essentially. Graham goes off to his flat, and they head towards Yaz's flat to meet some of Yaz's family.
This place looks expensive.
No.
What? Expensive?
Yaz's place.
Looks expensive?
Flats were built sort of in the 1960s post-war, and they were supposed to be the height of luxury, but then they quickly became kind of ghetto places and places you don't really want to hang out. And, yeah. There's always a good element about
them. And the London version's got clad in highly flammable substances and caught fire and killed loads of people.
Renfrew.
This isn't a council estate, is it?
Sort of, yes.
Looked a bit like it, didn't it?
Yeah.
But Yaz's mum is general manager of a fancy hotel.
Yeah, it doesn't mean to say you're not going to live in a flat like this. Yeah, well, no, these are not luxury flats. She may earn a lot of money, but that's their home. Maybe she didn't earn a lot of money when they moved into it. And certainly
it was implied that she'd finally got a job.
Yeah, and she and she didn't keep the job for very long, did she?
No.
I know. We meet Yaz's family, and Graham goes home, and there's a few spiders' webs around his home, and of course,
and the ghost.
And you said we were going to see Grace again, and we did, but she's a ghost, and she's in Graham's mind. I thought those scenes were quite beautiful, actually.
Yes.
Graham sort of just going through the grief, and you know, hearing the voices that you do when you, and having the dreams that you do when you lose someone that you, that is close to you and or you love or whatever, and being on his own in those circumstances. Those were really powerful scenes and quite important to what happened at the end of the story, even though they weren't actually part of the story. So yeah, the spider's webs are obviously a hint to something, and there's also those scenes where Graham's smelling Grace's shawl and blankets.
I love
and
the way she says, "Really, you put your face in a coat for God's sake."
Yeah.
So the doctor, Fred, like that.
The doctor, and who's that girl? The one with the dark hair and the glasses. Can't remember her name.
Okay. Jade.
Oh, is it Jade? They find their way into a room where there's a dead body covered in spider webs and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's her colleague, isn't it?
Dr. Jade McIntyre.
Yeah.
That was quite scary and gruesome. And I just like the bit where Ryan opens the curtains up and then jumps out of his skin when they see this sort of this dead body. And then we see a very large spider.
Haven't seen one of those in
not
since,
quite as large as going to get.
Last year we did.
Yeah, I think it was about a year ago, wasn't it?
About a year ago.
It beautifully animated, has to be said.
There was only one point with all the, because obviously they're wolf spiders and things that are all coming in this time of year, so that's great. But there was only one moment in this that both Isla and I went, "Oh my god!" at the same time.
Yeah, well, the ones that have come into our house have been out, thrown out very quickly, so far. We had a great big one, and that got thrown out, and a sort of one slightly smaller than the great big one, and they got thrown out.
I swear, some of them look really affronted when you do that. Honestly,
yeah, I felt a bit sorry for one of them because it only had seven legs. But now I've got a plastic cups to scoop them up in. They don't like being in plastic cups because they can't crawl back up.
Stop
on me easy.
Meowing. You have no right to meow on this
I
podcast.
Didn't meow.
Anyway, so Leia's right next to the speaker, and she's useless for catching spiders.
The doctor thinks that this spider is beautiful.
It's very beautiful animation.
And she squirts a substance around it to keep it allegedly at bay. And what was this?
Salt.
Garlic, wasn't it?
Vinegar and garlic and salt.
Vinegar, garlic, salt, yes. Apparently that saves the day.
And I love how she talks to it, just as an equal.
Yeah. So, Graham then reappears and tells them that...
You won't believe what I've seen.
Yeah. And then we're back in the hotel where... I think Ash finds her mum and... Yeah, where'd she find her mum? Hang on, was she back in the hotel?
Reception.
Hello?
She's waiting for reception.
Oh, and then we meet Mr. Sex in the City again, who demonstrates still further that he's not a very nice man. And
telling her off about the mess in the room. Yeah.
Yeah. The doctor finds a way into the lab, and this is there's lots of spiders around and diagrams of spiders because they've got a plan. What was the plan with the spiders?
To increase their lifespan.
Well, that didn't work very well, did it?
And to also increase size so they can work more with the silk.
Yes.
Oh, of course, because the silk is very, very strong, isn't it? It's strongest material.
That is still...
Yeah, I mean, if it stopped Amelia Earhart's plane...
Okay. And not according to Star Trek The Next Generation, it didn't. Was that
still? Still, no, the doctor said so in this episode.
Yeah, but Star Trek's Amelia Earhart episode came first. I think it wasn't even... Was it in Voyager? It might have been Voyager, actually.
Might have been, but we're talking different universes.
Oh, okay, if you say so.
I think it's wonderful that spider silk is still... even with all our technology, is still one of the strongest substances in the world.
Yeah. I can break it quite easily, though. So it can't be that strong. Anyway, at some point, Sex and the City man goes to the toilet, and there's a rumbling in the bath. I love the fact that it was rumbling in the bath, because obviously we all find spiders in the bath.
Oh, when they mentioned it was a scheduled bathroom break, I was going, what is it, Sheldon?
Yeah, yeah. But when the kids were young, we got a sink plug with a spider on it, and when the kids were that. And there was also a TV program called Spider in the Bath, and to make the when they were very small to make them laugh. Deb used to go, "There's a spider in the bath, a spider in the bath, a creepy crawly spider in the bath," and sing this song to them and just sort of tickle them in some way with this spider. And this scene actually reminded me we're all singing it, and then this great big gargantuan spider.
Spy for life.
Aragog, we called him for the benefit of the episode.
Yeah, Isla said it was Aragog.
Came out and then devoured the bodyguard, and took him down
Kevin.
The plug hole.
Kevin, I lost my Kevin.
Yeah, that is a homage to the Minions. Anyway, so I just love the bit where he gets dragged down down the plug hole. What?
They killed Kenny.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a South Park reference.
Whatever. Oh my God, they killed Kenny. You beep.
But yeah, you can see this sort of hand grab, and then he gets dragged down through the bath hole.
That was great.
Yeah. That was perfect.
His little feet could go in last, so that's quite amusing. Now, this character, obviously, the Doctor takes control. This is the scene where who put her in charge? We did. He sort of tries to keep in control, but realises he's out of his depth. And I'm talking about Sex and the City Man, not a very nice man at all.
Yes, Master?
Yes.
Have we seen so far, is this the first time that this Doctor has used the psychic paper?
Yes.
And she just pulls it out and he uses it. No explanation. We just know that we all know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's a very quick scene. It doesn't matter if anybody doesn't know whether it works or not. I mean,
I thought it was great.
In today's episode, the sonic screwdriver stopped working. So
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I know. First time
for everything.
I'm wondering if someone just made
tell you
a.
What, very... Today's episode didn't have to remind me of Passengers. Anyway, back to the one we're doing now. I just wanted to throw that in there because I'll probably forget about that next week.
Master.
So the spiders are getting bigger.
I'm going to have to investigate this.
Has the doctor worked out why the spiders are
getting
bigger?
Getting in touch. You're not going to let me.
No, that's fine. They keep growing and growing and growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And,
so he's just not letting me in.
I just was flicking through these bits now because basically it's very much. The Base Under Siege episode from about halfway through. We're all sort of crawling through corridors trying to wonder when the next big spider's going to come around the corner. They end up in the spider's larder. I think there's a point in which, even though the bodies are tied up in silk and stuff, the spider hasn't eaten them because it doesn't want to eat them. I don't think it wants to.
I don't think it can hear us.
Has its instinct to do it, but then of course
he can't hear
it. Doesn't eat people; it eats other things, doesn't it? Is that right? You're gone quiet.
No, we haven't.
What's the link?
We haven't. We can hear each other. You can't hear us.
Oh, hang on, what's happened to this? let's get that working. Oh yeah. Hang on, keep still. Be quiet a second. I'm having problems with me.
Can you hear us yet?
I'm having problem with input. Right, are you there now?
Yeah, we just couldn't hear you.
How come you couldn't hear me?
We could hear you, and we kept trying to make points and stuff, and you just kept going on and on and on.
Be quiet. Right, start again. I'm sorry about that. What happened was that the my audio device timed out. Right then, so go and make the points you were trying to make while I was talking on and on and on.
No, I was just trying to get your attention to let Kirby make his point. Go for it, Kirby.
Well, somebody's been messaging
when they were in, it's very, very weird thing that I'm going to have to check with the person who's in charge of one of the oldest science fiction fanzines in existence right now, File 770. File 770 was founded because of a room party like 50 years ago at a science fiction convention in a room 770. They were standing in front of room 770, which, since this is a science fiction show, they might actually be making a reference to this.
I did wonder, because everything that was sort of placed in front of us in this episode did seem to harken back to something. And I did wonder, because they did sort of focus on it.
So I'm going to get in touch with Mike Glyer, who runs File 770, and ask him if he knows about this. My daughters have been in File 770, the fanzine, several times. over the years, and they even congratulated Julia for graduating as a mechanical engineer, because they reported on us when we first went to China 20 years ago. So,
have you finished now?
Go ahead.
Nothing.
Yes.
Joshua Dybul on the new YouTube feed says, hello in your new home. Ian Kirk says, I don't have a Kevin. Lillian Robin says, hi. And then Ian Kirk says, Spider-Man gained his powers from a radioactive spider. These spiders gain their powers from human toxic waste. There you go. It was human toxic waste. That's what I was trying to remember. Bearing in mind, I've only watched this episode once. So I'm trying to sort of see how much of it I can actually remember. Basically, there was it was almost like a rubbish heap. They built this hotel on a rubbish heap, didn't they? On a landfill, I suppose, would you call it?
Well, a landfill put inside of a coal mine.
Ah, that's it. And this is where these spiders have been basically getting all their energy from.
Basically, it was the Green Death.
Yeah, it was a bit between the Green Death and... what was the other thing it reminded me of?
Well, other than the fact that they were big spiders, it wasn't Planet of the Spiders.
No. It was a bit of the Green Death in there. It reminded me a little bit of Back to the Future, and the when the DeLorean was powered by rubbish, a little bit. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Yeah, so they're skulking around in the mines. I'll have to move forward a little bit here, because basically all that's happening is that. They're basically skulking around corridors for a long period. I did notice the one of the background walls did look a little bit like the little squares in the classic series.
Only a little bit.
And we see lots of spiders skulking around, and they're all getting scared of the spiders. And eventually, we come into a corridor where there's a spider that is it dead or dying? I think it's. And the Doctor realizes that it's. Grows to a certain size, and then it just can't take it any more.
That's at the very end.
I know, we've moved
past. Have you gone all the way to the end?
I have, because all they're doing is skulking around corridors, Kirby.
Okay.
Yeah, that's basically what they are. They're skulking around corridors, running away from spiders and stuff. The Doctor realises that they grow to a certain size, and then just can't take in any more oxygen and die. And he said, I'm sorry. Sorry, she said, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. Which sort of sounded a bit like David Tennant. And... that was the end of those spiders.
And then he decides to do the American thing to do.
Blow the whole place up.
No, shoot it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. But there's lots of hundreds of spiders in the coal mines and in the building. I presume it was on lockdown, but that doesn't explain what happened to all the spiders that were in the flats and in,
right, exactly.
Other places. So I'm a bit confused by that was suddenly the end of that story. It wasn't really explained as to how... They actually got rid of the spiders that were outside the hotel.
Yeah, they said that they were going to do. They put them in that room with obviously the 6 months' food, and they were just going to die of natural causes, apparently.
Yeah, but what about the spiders in the flats?
That's not all the spiders in Sheffield.
No, not the ones. I mean, these genetically engineered spiders. We're talking about the spiders that were in the flats that killed that woman in her bed.
Oh, they're drilling again.
What's that got to do with it? That's what she said, by the way.
Well, they're drilling to attract some spiders to your own house.
Yeah, moving it outside.
Come on, focus. I'm asking what was the explanation. Yes, they've got these spiders in lockdown in this mine-stroke hotel. What about the spiders that were outside the hotel that were massive?
They did not explain.
This is
one of the things I don't like about this story.
This is the problem that I have.
That's it. They just focused on the hotel.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't really explain it. They suddenly cut it off, even with the hotel bit. It was a bit confusing for the layman viewer.
As someone somewhere pointed out, might have been on the 20 megabyte, might have been someplace else. So far, with the stories so far, we've had no conclusion, no consequence for any villain so far.
Okay.
At all.
Yeah, so the Trump person in this story just went on with his business and probably will end up being president at some point.
And last week, the time-traveling racist... was sent to the past. Mm-hmm. The week before, there was no real... The whole race thing just went away.
Yeah. Well,
the week before that, Tim Shaw
Yeah. I think we can accept that somewhere along the line we're either going to see Tim Shaw, we're either going to see the time-travelling alien come back, not so much, or we could well see, I mean, this actor who
all turn up together on the last episode.
Yeah. Maybe in the last episode, or maybe somewhere along the line they'll be together, or they will be in the story. They might not be. Moffat used to do, isn't it? He used to suddenly bring these characters back. Yeah, sorry, Kirby.
Can you tell me if there's a good... You don't have to tell me any plot or anything, but... Today's episode have a conclusion which...
Yes.
...doesn't do that?
Yes. Yes, it's Thank a solid you. Story. It's much better than last
yeah, week. Yeah, right. It's very much another base in siege, stroke arc in space type story.
Really good. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of right at the end. I thought that was very like the Ark in Space, so there you go.
Yeah. It was Ark in Space, yeah. And very much like Passengers for me. It was quite good. It was much... You couldn't get much... Well, can we... We'll just conclude the story. Sorry, we're jumping behind and ahead and all over the place. So at the end of the story, we'd have another, obviously, shot of Graham looking lonely in his flat and the others... realizing that, you know, their mundane lives would be a little bit more interesting if they went off with the Doctor. So they do.
Team TARDIS!
Team TARDIS.
Yay, team! Yay, team!
So that's the end. All right, then. Arachnids in the UK, there are some charming bits in it, which are quite nice. I think that the animation of the spiders is good. The Doctor's attitude to all the spiders is fantastic. Political elements are absolutely absurd. Now, I don't like Donald Trump. I don't like his politics. I don't like him as a politician. I used to like him when he was on The Apprentice. But as a politician, I think he's bad for the world. And I'm not going to get into politics too much. But having said that, they're really being unfair to him with this characterization of this Trump-like character that's supposed to be against him. And it's not. There's no place for me, no place for that in Doctor Who. Yes, you can bring in political elements of stories. I've been doing that right since day one. Daleks is it's a parody of Nazi Germany in some ways, or what Nazi Germany could have ended up being like. Bearing in mind that it was made only a few years after the end of the war. Now this, I don't think it's fair and it's democratic to depict a leading politician, however you either agree or disagree with his policies, in this way. And I don't think there's any place for him, Doctor Who. Yes, make a evil American politician up. Don't connect him with a living, currently right. running politician. Like I said, we've had an Obama in Doctor Who before, and then we had a fake president that got killed, in the Capaldi era. Most of the main politicians in Doctor Who have been, just fake ones, like Saxon and the Prime Minister when the Tenth Doctor came into existence. Keep it that way. Don't mix it up. It's a Doctor Who politician, keep it a Doctor Who.
Remember when Nixon was in...
Yeah, I can accept Who. Nixon to a degree, because that's in the sort of past, and they haven't settled and talked about American politics and said, right, we're in between 1971 and 1973, whenever Nixon was in,
Yeah, and what I liked about that was they were showing the tape recording, and it was implied that was the missing part of the missing minutes from the Watergate tapes was the recording of the silence business.
And also, he's not a currently running president of the United States. I don't think it's right to do that. And I thought it was bad. I mean, I don't agree with Trump, but I do agree with some of the things he said in regards to the fake news, that there is. Most of the stuff you can see is a twat, but there's also stuff that people post that's fake about him as well. It's like the scaremongering that they had out when it would be the end of the world when Trump became president. It could still be, but I would have thought it would have ended by now with the way he was painted. But yeah. Now, I would say to the listeners, I will gloss over it because Mary did send a message in about how disgusted she was with this episode, and I can understand why. So we'll leave it at that, and she's got her reasons. And this show is not a political show; it's a show about Doctor Who. But unfortunately, this episode has highlighted a political angle, which I don't like. So I'm not going to talk about it. All I'll talk about the show. It's not very good at all. This episode. There are aspects of it that are charming, but that doesn't make it a story. It's a shame because they render the spiders really, really well, and they've rounded the characters of the companions off really, really well, and then put it in this rather absurd, even for Doctor Who, absurd story. And the problem is, the reason why Izzy isn't on the show tonight is because she's so disgusted by the story being so bad that she didn't want to watch it again. She found that she didn't find the spiders scary. She just thought it was. She just really didn't want to watch it again and sit down and do questions on it, so she refused to be on the show. It's just a shame.
She'll be on next week.
She could well be on next week. It was a good episode tonight, so there's a good chance she will be on next week. But yeah, it's a bit of a low point for me, even going through previous series of the show. And yeah, I mean, you could look at it another way. Rosa was a political, but it's a historic political rather than a
current affairs.
Yeah, it's very.
It was uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, bad taste in the mouth.
Oh boy, was it? Yeah.
It was. Yeah, it had potential to be really, really good, but it wasn't. It was. They just really sledgehammered you over the head with this political crap, and it's not. No, it's not no place. I mean, I think they're trying to be like there's a current drama that just finished on BBC called Bodyguard. I think they were trying to dabble in that a little bit, but it was it was very terrible. What got me? It's turned off my in-laws who watched Doctor Who. They stopped watching it about 20 minutes in because it was that bad, and they're sort of not Doctor Who fans. This is going to turn off viewers. This episode.
I'm worried. This is
terrible.
Of people who would just come into grips with the fact that we had a lady doctor.
Yeah.
The odd thing is that viewing figures were good for this one. So
Tom loved it. Tom loved it. Isla thought it was brilliant. I just was distracted.
Take out the political stuff. It was quite good.
Yeah, that would have been an absolutely fantastic little horror story.
Yeah.
But no.
There was no need for, they could have had any that the main character, you know, the political could have been any
generic,
political generic. Like the character from Voyage of the Damned, you know, the baddie in that, the, you know, the corrupt.
We could have had a rich British baddie, didn't have to be American baddie,
But they could have had it as American baddie because they managed to get this actor to come in and play it, but he didn't have to be connected to Trump. He could have just been a corrupt American politician.
Exactly. It's a generic corrupt man.
We have plenty of those.
Well, we have plenty of them as well. We're not American ones. But yeah, no, there's no place in the 20 megabyte podcast for political stuff that unless it's connected with the show. So I totally respect Mary's right to have her political persuasions and for her to be disgusted by
understandably taking umbrage with how it was presented because that's understandable.
Because if you support a certain political regime and somebody puts it in your favourite TV show and the complete opposite to what your political persuasion is, it's not fair. There's no reason for it. I don't think they should do it in a show like this, personally. Mm-mm. Unless it's historical, and it's not historical. So there you go. So what did you think of it? Sorry, we've already gone past that bit.
Right,
just ranting. What did you think of it? Other than, what I thought of it. Oh dear, everyone's gone quiet again. Is it still...
Who are you asking?
Hello? They're gone again. Oh, you're back there again. Hello.
Yeah, who are you asking?
Both of you. I'll go on, Debbie. What did you think?
Well, pretty much said it all anyway. It could have been so much scarier. It would have been so much scarier. I hate spiders. Tiny spider was on me, I'd turn into a karate king. You know, it's like... No, it should have been scary. The bit that had both Ina and I going, oh my God, was the bit when they've trapped the spider underneath that sort of giant saucepan, and then they look up and then all the spiders are coming on the roof. That was the moment that both Isla and I were like creeped out.
Hey, do you know what? Do you want a bit of satire? The way they could have got around the problem with the spiders in that hotel is put some razor sharp barbed wire around the whole thing.
That's true. They wouldn't have gone on that, would they?
God's sake, you let that one go, didn't you? Carry
yeah,
on.
Did you?
Hello, carry on.
Sorry, I've not been too good this weekend.
Oh, baby.
No, I'm not using that as an excuse, but obviously I can't pick up on jokes as quickly at the moment.
Oh, at least you accept it was a joke, yes.
But, the fact that the politics that came in, as we've just said, it really was just unnecessary. It ruined the story for me. But yeah. It was great to meet Yaz's family. They were brilliant. Yeah. And the whole idea of the spiders, but having it not conclude, other than the spiders that were in the hotel, it was supposed to be a citywide problem.
Yeah.
Why was it not a citywide problem? And they all just went off in the TARDIS. It's like, I know that's very Tom Baker era. Fine, we've sorted your problem out, immediate problem out, we're going. But this day and age, we need the resolution. We need the resolve of how they dealt with the others, because spiders breed. Yeah, and spiders.
First thing I saw straight after was somebody saying, "Well, what happened there then? Why did they suddenly cut off the spider story without an explanation?"
Are they going to come back to Sheffield in like 3 months' time and find it completely overrun by giant spiders?
Or just covered in a web.
Is that a future episode? The spider that got out, you know, the spiders that stayed, that managed to survive the panic room.
Yes.
Or something like go in the panic room and let them all out again. You know, it was a very weird way of ending that. But
it was a terrible way.
It was quite a touching moment when she did the "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry" bit about that giant spider-ess dying, you know, and suffocating under its own body weight, which was that was actually quite a genuine moment. And when the American guy comes in and shoots it, that, you know, we were all literally going, "No, how dare you!"
That's the only umbrage I've really got with Trump is the gun lobby, his attitude towards gun lobbying, and I think that was a dig at him. That particular scene.
They took it, instead of it being a decent Doctor Who story, they grandstanded about their politics against Trump.
Yes.
And it's all very well and good having your beliefs. I mean, I supported Leave, and I'm friends with people who voted Remain. I'm friends with people who like Trump. I'm friends with people who are absolutely against Trump. And all through a love of this programme. And for them to have done this, I actually must admit, I felt quite betrayed, because now it's put everybody on one side or the other. Yeah.
Fortunately, in this one episode, because the good thing about Doctor Who is you move on to another thing. But this is
going to be difficult to move on from, because they did this. And I just feel a bit betrayed that people I'm friends with, despite what their beliefs are and everything, it's now come into that safe place of Doctor Who and fan zone, and, you know, just being all together about how wonderful Doctor Who is, and then to have them do this, I feel really strongly.
I think
about
in 10 years' time, when obviously the we'll have a different president in the White House, it'll be a bit more acceptable, because it's something that's gone and dusted.
Right,
they
did us wrong, and the writing was awful.
It's a missed chance, really.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
They could have done so much better. And a few references to, obviously, Green Death and things like that would have been perfect.
Yeah, there was very. It was very.
Well, there was a lot of reference to the Green Death.
You only notice them if you've recently watched it.
If you look very close at it, Doctor,
should have done was throw a couple of maggots in there.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, if you look very closely at Doctor Who throughout the years, you can always find a political a message in there somewhere. And Alan T. Butcher has made a feedback history on finding that particular political message.
Fair enough.
It's going to be this time if he spotted it.
Yeah, obviously this last week's episode just felt too uncomfortable to watch. It wasn't for me. Sorry.
Some people didn't like it because of the spiders as well, but it was just a shame. I mean, I say my in-laws.
I
don't
that.
Like spiders, but I don't like them, and I don't dislike them enough not to watch a program with them in. You know, Kirby, what did you think?
Okay, first of all, terrible episode.
Yeah.
they could have done the politician completely differently and had possibly made this a better story. I wish it had been connected to the Green Death better. They could have connected it to the Planet of the Spiders. It looked beautiful. I loved getting to know Yaz's family. I can understand why she's getting away from them. basically, you guys have said most everything already. It looked beautiful. Could have been better.
Okay, thank you, Kirby. All right, stuff coming through on the feed. This is the YouTube feed. Lillian Robin says, good to hear about the newest episode. Well, you've not watched it yet. What happens is the Doctor and the team land in a sort of scrapyard planet looking for a specific item and tread on a mine, and everything goes a bit sort of...
Tits up.
Yeah, tits up from there onwards. And then we see lots of beautiful classical white sets, beautifully made. You'll look forward to that. It's actually a very, very good episode. I'll tell you what.
They tread on a mine. Does Harry Sullivan come along?
No, the Doctor touches it. It's a sonic mine and it goes whoosh.
No, unfortunately, it's not.
But that's all I'm saying on it. It just goes whoomph. And then they're then sort of stuck in a base in siege after that. There was a bit of a complaint towards the end of the episode that a similar thing happened, but I did sort of explain as to why they've done that, but I'll talk about that next week. Lillian Robin says Arachnids could have been a good episode. It wasn't. That sums it up rather well. Ian Kirk said, is Isabella refusing to take part because of the politics? No, she's refusing to take part because she disliked the episode so much. And she didn't... Well, I'm not going to go down that road. She didn't like it. She hated it, in fact. So, but she sat and watched tonight's episode and quite enjoyed it.
I disliked some of the Capaldi stories more than this one.
You did?
Yeah, the whole Monk's trilogy. I hated.
Oh, yeah. No, I preferred that lot, to be fair. It wasn't very good, but I still preferred it. And at least there's only one episode to get out of the way, and I just wish that we could have a season of Doctor Who where we don't have duffers.
Yes. It always happens.
Yeah, I know.
There's actually a discussion thread on our Facebook page at the moment about this latest episode.
What, today's one?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, started a discussion.
Usually Facebook groups will prevent stuff like that because of spoilers, but I guess we're okay.
No, we're not okay. That's fine. No, we're not okay at all. That will be taken out when I find it. Where is it? I can't see it.
I can see it, but you may want to, but
Reese won't.
24 minutes ago, Trey Clemister.
Who?
Sent a post. T-R-E, Trey, Tree, Clemister, Clemister.
Hang on, to the
Doctor Who podcast. Well, one of you's accepted them.
I'm trying to find the post so I can, hide it. Yeah. Oh, there we are. Right then.
Just write spoilers and tell them to shut up.
Yeah, write spoilers or something. And say, wait a few days.
Inappropriate, because we're recording last week.
I'm trying to find out the appropriate... hang on. Delete post. Can I do that?
Delete. Well, tell them why you're doing it.
You might want to explain... Yeah. Put another post in explaining what's going on.
Right, I'll just...
I'm
just, no spoilers, please.
Yeah.
For how many days?
I don't know. How long does it take before everybody's seen it?
Wednesday.
Yeah, I'd say Wednesday.
Okay.
Kirby, have you ever tried yam ice cream?
What?
Tried what?
Obviously not then. Yam ice cream.
Oh, I didn't understand what you said. Yeah, yam ice cream? No.
Me neither.
What does that have to do with anything?
It just came up underneath the post that they put on the Facebook page. It was just on my feed. It's like yam ice cream. I'm like, what?
Okay.
I posted it on there.
Which I assume would be sweet potato.
Yeah, yam.
Yeah, we have sweet potato stuff all over the place.
Well, I'm sure the viewers on YouTube are absolutely fascinated by this. Right, feedback. So let's have a look. See what we've got on the Facebook feed. We have, well, Kirby requested it. Laurie Nick said, sorry, folks, I watched it too.
Master, may I make a point? Last week, I did listen to last week's show, and what you missed with the, you saw where I requested that someone else put the request for the feedback last week, and then you said, then he went ahead and put the request anyway. That's because like 7 or 8 hours went by without someone putting the request out there. I was done with what I was doing during
Kirby.
The day. I came home and I put the request.
Kirby.
It was the middle of the night here.
Kirby.
Yes.
I'm over it. I'm moving on. Right, Laurie Nix says, sorry, folks, I watched it two times and thought it was must meh. I think she means to me it's just meh.
Must meh, yeah.
Meh. Dozed off, even. I could see where it would be a fun one for the kids and a bit of a romp, but at least my the least favourite so far, and I actually like spiders. Jeff Waddell, weakest of the season so far. Not one reference to Planet of Spiders. The villain does a good thing by putting the spider out of its misery. And
oh,
so
it was Jeff who said what I was saying.
And is so his evilness is completely nullified, and he walks away completely free. This is a reoccurring pattern that I'm not keen on. No consequences for any bad guy so far, and I'm sorry, every spider in Sheffield is in that safe room. Rubbish. Too many plot holes for me. Could have been brilliant. Instead, it's just okay. There we go. Thank you, Jeff. Was somebody about to say something then?
No, disagree.
No, I would say, remember earlier I said I saw somewhere that someone had said no consequences for any of the villains. That's where I saw it.
Right. I'm just doing some clerical stuff behind the scenes here for our... if anybody's wondering what I'm doing, I do work hard behind the scenes while the show is on. This is precisely what I'm doing now. It's called multitasking. Even though I can do it sometimes, I'm not very good at it, and the fact that I'm able to speak to you while doing it is quite amazing. But anyway, right, where do we go? Oh yes, we're doing feedback.
It's amazing.
What?
It's amazing.
Right, Josh. This is Joshua Dybel. Said Arachnids in the UK was okay, obviously a Halloween one, primarily for the kids. A very rushed ending. The kids would have been really confused by the ending. A very rushed ending, I thought I'd missed something. Can't see how shooting a spider would be any worse than leaving them to die slowly in a panic room. But good
It's not very humane, is it?
No, but character development again, particularly enjoyed the tension over when they'd be travelling with the doctor. It's not often that they get to have a proper chin wag about it before jetting off. Thanks for the tip off about pointless celebrities. Watched it last night, really enjoyed it. Now watching Torchwood for the first time ever, have decided to finally give it a go. Just watched the first two episodes. That second episode is a bit saucy. It is indeed a bit saucy, Josh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it was saucy. The trouble is it's deliberately saucy because they could do it. They did do it. But I think it did settle down after that. First two series of Torchwood are absolutely superb. So you've got some enjoyable things to watch there.
That's really good TV there.
Indeed. Right, hang on. Chris Chibnall writes a few of those stories. I just want to point out. My favorite.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite.
Possibly close to being the showrunner, or was he the showrunner?
Well, I don't know. I think RTD was the showrunner, wasn't he?
Yeah, but Chibnall was very active in it. Not just. I'll have to look it up.
Is it important?
So I will. Not hear something that you say for a little while.
Good. Oh, I wish it was the other way around.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. This 20 Megabyte episode might come out on US Election Day. Voting is more important than a science fiction fantasy TV show. So never mind the Yorkshire spiders. Go and vote. I went to see the film Bohemian Rhapsody last week.
Oh, I
was
want to
impressed.
See that.
Arachnids in the UK by Chris Chibnall. Jack Robinson, the businessman and hotel builder, thought he was so important, but I see a little silhouette of a man. We meet Yaz's family. A tradition in New Who is to meet the companions' families.
Yes.
The doctor keeps calling Nadia Yaz's mum.
I love that.
Perhaps one of the CGI Yorkshire spiders could have had a flat cap.
Hang on.
Ryan looks up to see the giant spider on the ceiling.
I'm having also trouble with my audio tonight. Right, let me work in again.
Are.
Let's try that. Let's take that back a bit. Sorry about that, Ian.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Oh, not at the beginning.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. Is Ian Kirk.
Just play it.
This 20 Megabyte episode might come out on US Election Day. Voting is more important than a science fiction fantasy TV show, so never mind the Yorkshire spiders. Go and vote. I went to see the film Bohemian Rhapsody last week and was impressed. Arachnids in the UK by Chris Chibnall. Jack Robinson, the businessman and hotel builder, thought he was so important, but I see a little silhouette of a man. We meet Yaz's family. A tradition in New Who is to meet the companions' families. The Doctor keeps calling Nadia Yaz's mum. Perhaps one of the CGI Yorkshire spiders could have had a flat cap. Ryan looks up to see the giant spider on the ceiling. He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity. The Doctor usually wants to get away at the end of an adventure. And this time the TARDIS crew does too. Who is going to sort out the leftover spiders and toxic waste? Bit of a plot hole.
Yes.
Whose wife knitted the Fourth Doctor's scarf?
Galileo!
No, it was made by Madame Nostradamus.
It was indeed.
Bye for now.
Thank you, eventually, Ian. I do apologise for my technical issues I'm having this evening, for my speakers are being very, very naughty. Sorry, were you making... Debbie?
Master?
Who's singing? What?
Be quiet. Yes?
Master? Okay, back to Torchwood.
Yeah.
First season, RTD was the main writer and Chibnall was the secondary writer. Second season, Chibnall was the lead writer.
Thank you for that. I'll sleep restfully tonight with knowing that particular piece of information. Thank you. Oops, I just dropped my seal of Rassilon badge. Oh, God. Then I bumped my head on the microphone. Oh, I can't get my seal of Rassilon badge. Oh, got it. There we go. The seal of Rassilon badge.
Did I get you that?
Yes, you did, yes.
Yeah.
See, I still have it.
I've still got mine. I love it. It's on my winter coat.
Debbie, you should have had something in your inbox.
I have indeed. Do you want me to start?
No, I just want you to read the stuff I sent to you via your inbox.
The Green Death Redux, or eight legs, not really bad, two legs, capitalist monster. Dear 20 megabytes. Arachnids in the UK is, of course, a closely studied exploration of the precarious nature of the international financial system. Mm. Spiders are well established in Doctor Who as representation of the banking sector, and here we see them grown out of control once again through unregulated action by capital, leading to toxic practices. They are placed in the foundations of the hotel, thus presenting a huge threat to it, much as the corrupt and sharp practices of the banking system did to the global capitalism in 2008. The conclusion of the tale sees most of the spiders confined within what looks like bank vault, clearly representing a proper regulatory system. The overlarge spider, whilst apparently too big to fail, in fact collapses in an allusion to Lehman's Bank. It's good. Very good. Nice one, Alan. It should be noted that while some suggest the convenient death of the acromantula collapsing and unable to breathe properly draws attention to the scientific truth that actually all the spiders in this world would have struggled similarly, in fact this is a righteous return to the frankly sporadic veracity of the science of the early years of the show. We also learned that the New Yorker, once known as Big, for whatever reason, was not quite able to live up to that sobriquet.
Yes.
Sobriquet, in contrast to the toxic waste engorged and tumescent arachnid. So I can say tumescent. Why can't I say that? All in all, Arachnids in the UK is a highly derivative retelling of the Green Death, clearly written by someone who has been somewhat distracted by the planet of the spiders. It provides an adventure clearly designed to transition from the initial phase of discovery that our TARDIS travelling friends have been going through. Their transition from companions by necessity to companions by choice is successfully and even movingly established. The Trumpish businessman is a necessary connection to the too much ignored reality that Trump is himself a paradigm for the form of commerce which leads to these problems. This is a proud tradition in Doctor Who, with its contemporaneous critiques of Ted Heath, Margaret Thatcher, amongst many others. This story is perhaps two episodes too short, because the Green Death itself was great at that running time. Next up, Doctor Who and the Saranga Countdown Conundrum, or the return of the Vordamundo Marinus, perhaps. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you very much. And obviously, some of the Americans will find that the Vorderman reference a bit confusing there. That was obviously to do with a TV show called Countdown. A TV show indeed that this particular piece of music comes from. Shut up, Debbie. anyway, enough of that. Right then, so
did they parody that on the IT Crowd?
Yes.
What, Countdown?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, they did. Yes.
Mm. Very, yeah, now
who's
I know
moving
what,
stuff
what
around. So that sounds like we're in someone's kitchen. Then what was that funny clanking noise?
A log was precarious on the fire. I just had
well,
to
do
move
be careful
it,
so. With those logs.
Oh, by the way, this is funny. I'm looking, you know, the Wikipedia page for the Tsuranga conundrum is constantly being updated right now. So nonsense is going in. Someone put a section, lost the plot. There is no plot really, only a pating that's a bit rubbish. And that'll make sense for people
yes.
when they see it.
Yes.
And yes, I know what it is already. That's because I like spoilers.
Yes. If somebody could explain further to Trey Clemister, because I did obviously I'm trying to do a show here and all this stuff kicks off all at the same time. Could someone explain to him further? Because I don't think he understands. Because he said beyond this being dribble from Planet Incompetence, I have presented no spoilers.
Possibly. I don't remember what he said. Maybe he didn't present any spoilers.
Well, I took
yes,
it off.
Yes, could have encouraged spoilers. That's the point.
Yes. Could you say that, please? Because yes, he'll think me yes, to be the baddie, won't yes. he?
Yes.
I'm just the administrator of the podcast group, you see. Right then, where are we? Nothing coming through on the feed. So we will continue. We're not going to have a quiz today, simply because the episode. Well, two, three reasons. One, the episode was so bad. Two, I've been extremely busy this weekend doing the wedding and a bridal show. So last time I did that, I had to do the show on a Monday. And three, Isabella didn't want to do it. Didn't want to do the quiz. That left just the two of you, and I didn't see the point.
It's not letting me see the. See
do
the
you want
post?
Me to tag you on it, Debbie? For goodness sake.
It's not, no, it's probably that it's been posted in 20 megabytes.
I took off the original post. Unless he sent it to me as a message.
It's a new post at the top.
Yes.
The new post at the top is literally you talking about Pecora and watching out for some proper big spiders. That's at the
you
top.
Need to refresh no. your screen.
I have.
The screen.
I've both said the same thing. All right, hang on, let's have a look. 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group which you can join. No, it's still there. It says new. Well, I'm going to tag you on it, don't
you? I'm just saying that I can't see it.
I'm tagging you on it.
I'm typing a comment.
What's your name?
It says on my
Debbie Melrose. There you go. You're tagged. Right, can you see it now?
No, because it hasn't come up with the fact that
yeah, it hasn't come up with the tag yet.
Oh, God. It must be the internet. Right then, no, like I say, we're not going to do a quiz, but we're going to move on to news.
What? Okay.
Can you see it now?
Okay, you've now been tagged, Debbie.
She knows that. If you know it, she knows it. Okay, the Tsuranga conundrum.
Yeah, well, if I could, I still predict that Izzy would have won the quiz if we'd had one.
Well, she's still ahead, but either way. The Tsuranga conundrum. Pictures from are available to view on DoctorWhoNews.net if you want to see how beautiful the sets are. And
what the pating looks like, apparently.
Pating? That would be one of these. Oh, where's my bell? One of those.
looks like they're going to be selling... little stuffed ones eventually, I guess.
Maybe. But the pating, we thought it looked like a star, to be fair. And when we said, Star, you're on the telly! She got up from her bed, picked up a toy, and came over and jumped up on the settee. If the toy had been a cuddly sonic screwdriver, it would have been quite an apt thingamajig. Anyway, so that, yeah, that was the...
there's no pictures of the pating on the Doctor Who News yet.
No. Okay, right. I quite like this particular creature, simply because it's a fairly new one for Doctor Who.
Spoilers.
Yeah, I quite like the creature. So I think it's a bit adipose-y. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah,
but
I
quite liked it. Nevertheless, no spoilers, but I did. Right then, official ratings for Rosa is the only bit of news that I can find of any use or interest. 8.37 million viewers, and AI of 83, so that's pretty good. Top of the week was Strictly Come Dancing with 11.49. So, well, as far as that episode goes, that's a good rating. What now? What?
Well, I wanted to tell you, with Arachnids, ratings that had 6.43 million viewers with a share of 29.3% of the total TV audience.
Yeah.
It was the second highest overnight viewership for the night, third for the week on overnights across all channels. And there were 900,000 BBC America viewers.
Okay, well, back to that.
And the other thing, this is what bugs me. The episode was met with positive reviews and holds an approval rating of 91% based on 23 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
That's weird. I'm talking Arachnids.
Okay. You said it was six.
If you look at,
nearly got a
if
word
you
in.
Look at Rosa, it's got much higher, obviously.
Yeah. Right. Well, can I ask the question now?
Yes.
Thank you. Right. What was the rating million-wise of the Arachnid story?
In the UK, 6.43.
Nearly 2 million less. That's a big jump down from Rosa.
Yeah.
So that's still not good. So we just hope that they can have a bit of a recovery with tonight's episode. But it's not good. It's not good to have that big a dip. And that just goes to show how poor the story was, Mr. Chibnall. There we go. Okay, so that's it for news. Because if we go any further down, it's just stuff about the 8th of March. It's a big Finnish production featuring Neve McIntosh and a few of the Capaldi strokes Smith characters. Oh, and Ace. Oh, actually, it's quite a big...
Did we discuss Derek Sherwin's death?
Hang on. We've got Sophie Aldred, friend of the show. Actually, a family member of the show now because she's been on twice.
Yeah.
Lisa Bauman, Louise Jameson, friend of the show. Alex Kingston, Neve McIntosh. Would have been friend of the show if somebody pulled their finger out. And Ingrid Oliver, who's been on the show, but she doesn't know it. Gemma Redgrave and Katrin Stewart, who... was she on it? I can't remember now. No, she would have been a friend of the show if somebody pulled their finger out. Am I correct in that?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the 8th of March. Doctor Who story available soon on Big Finish. Derek Sherwin has passed away at the age of 82. He was a stalwart of Doctor Who, actually, in the late 60s and early 70s. I beg your pardon?
He created UNIT.
He did indeed. So that's a bit of a sad departure for the world of Doctor Who. But, he's a good legacy. Yes.
Fred and I had been watching New Who, and we were watching the Martha episode with the Suntarans.
Oh, yes.
With the big UNIT presence, and she really loves UNIT. She's glad to see UNIT.
Now, that's a good thing you told me then. Okay, right then. Whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
If listeners may be unaware, we're in November now. I'm ignoring you. I'm ignoring you. because Christmas is coming and you will want to buy your Doctor Who fan friends and family stuff.
Winter is coming
get
too.
Get it from Doctor Who. Sorry, whowon.co.uk simply because they are Doctor Who specialists. So they're not, you know, a company that sells Doctor Who products along with other things. They are Doctor Who specialists, and they love Doctor Who and provide Doctor Who items for you to purchase for your loved ones. And, for instance, pre-ordering for An Ideal World, the first Doctor story, and Entanglement, which is another first Doctor story, and Eighth Doctor of Ravenous 2, which I imagine is an Eighth Doctor story, along with... So those items are available for pre-order. Combat Magics is a 13th Doctor story, available in hardback. And then Dalek Audio Annual. So there's a few bits and bobs come up here. Diary of Riversong 4. And the 13th Doctor Mr. Man book, which was...
Yay!
It's funny that it's available for pre-order. It was actually available. Did somebody have it? No. Okay. Well, that's available for pre-orders. So if you want to get you add to your collection of Doctor Who Mr. Man books, that's the one to get.
I love my Doctor Who Mr. Man books.
Did you get yours signed by any of the Doctors?
No, I didn't.
You fool! You won't get that opportunity again, will you? Which segues me nicely. Which segues me nicely to the demise of Island Con.
My God! Yeah.
It was predicted even before the event started that there was financial discrepancies in the way the con was being run behind the scenes, simply because of a load of American potential guests not coming, simply because there wasn't enough money to bring them over. But some guests did come, and he replaced them with some really good Doctor Who guests. I think that was very nice of him to do that for me. But nevertheless, it turns out that a lot of people have not been paid, not necessarily celebrities, but I think some celebrities, for attending the convention.
Getting off the island again.
One of my friends, Duncan the photographer, has not been paid. So he worked very hard that weekend, and the school itself has not been paid for staging this amazing event. So it's turned out to be quite sad. I was feeling a bit guilty because it was partly my idea to have it. Well, it was my idea actually to have it at Cowes Enterprise College, but it wasn't my idea that they weren't going to pay anybody. So the company that runs these conventions has gone bust. So that is it for Island Con. However, Phoenix from the Flames, the cosplaying community on the Isle of Wight has enjoyed the opportunity so much to dress up as certain people at Island Con for 2 years that there is plans afoot to create an event for cosplayers on the Isle of Wight. Whether that be a convention in the conventional convention in the conventional way, I don't know. But
it might be more a sort of workshop, huge workshop together of everybody and skills.
I'm going to the meeting about it. No, if you're going, I'm not going. No, I won't get worded edgeways. I'm not going if you're going. Yeah, so there's a meeting coming up next week in which all of we're all getting together and talking over ideas of what's going to happen. I think that there is gonna the view that I'm getting is we're gonna go along the similar lines. We'll have zones like we did for the fans to come and enjoy, where people can cosplay as whatever they want to cosplay and intermingle. We'll have traders and we just need someone to stage it, really. But yeah, it'll be a convention.
Fewer celebrities?
We'll have to look into that one. We have to find someone who's a bit of a treasurer that can see how we can get enough money in from traders and tickets, if indeed we'll not do it for free and just have it as an event that doesn't have celebrities. I don't know. My idea, it would probably have to have a couple of celebrities at least, but then it would become a convention. But we don't know yet. It's an embryonic stage.
I think Island Con had too many celebrities.
I agree. They should kick out all the other celebrities and just have the Doctor Who ones.
It looked amazing.
There was also there was a lady from Star Wars, Debbie. I looked at some of her stuff on YouTube. She's actually a really, really good actress. And did you realise she was 52? I thought I would have put...
Yes, the lady that didn't wear knickers.
That lady. I wasn't going to mention that bit.
Yes, so.
Is it Bai Ling? Is that her name?
Bai Ling, yeah.
She was a bit nuts, but very, 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 at least she let me take a picture.
she was really brilliant. I got some really good pictures of her dancing with the little T-Rex.
Yeah, what you could have got was a picture of her doing a karate kick or something like that. I would have quite appreciated that, but you failed in your...
When you were saying someone not wearing knickers, I was going to ask, was Lillian there?
Lillian wears knickers? How dare you? I do apologise, Lillian. That was Kirby that said that. If you want... I'd send them a private message of disgust if I were you, Lillian. That's terrible. It was Bai Ling, Nicholas Bai Ling, and she caused a bit of a storm by doing karate kicks with no knickers on. But nevertheless, I did appreciate the fact make herself available for me to take a picture of her. So, yeah, and quite a talented actress as well. Yes,
I believe she was in. One of the very first movies that was made almost entirely on green screen. What was the name of that thing?
Avatar.
Crow.
She was in The Crow. I know that. Yeah. Does it matter?
I'll have to remember it.
It doesn't matter, honestly. I'm just referring to it. So yes, watch this space for the replacement event for IslandCon. But thank you, IslandCon, for the fun. It was amazing. And it's opened up an avenue of enjoyment for lots and lots of people on the Isle of Wight now, which wasn't available before. So I, even though Ben's been a very naughty boy, I did send him a message of thanks for actually bringing the event to the island in the first place. I didn't say anything about the fact that he hadn't paid anybody, but the fact that he's brought the thing to the island, it's just made everybody think that, yeah, this is something we need to have on the island a lot.
And like a phoenix, will rise.
He'll always, in my view, even if with what's happened, be remembered for the man who bought it to the island in the first place. Because without him bringing it here in the first place, nobody would have really cared about it like this.
She played Guan Yin in The Monkey King. That's where I'd seen her.
Mm. Actually, she looks amazing for 52, and she don't look she's had any work done.
The movie I was referring to was Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I've taken her picture. Does that make me a celebrity photographer?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, right. So, yeah, lavazi.co.uk. Get your Doctor Who fan friend a now shorter Tom Baker scarf because they're all available. Sure. It says here, free scarf, win a brand new scarf. There's a competitions on it, so yeah, go to lavazi.co.uk and enter the competitions. There's a chance of winning a free scarf. It's got to be done, and if you don't win it, you can buy a Doctor Who scarf nevertheless.
Yeah. Changing the subject back to what I just said.
Oh dear.
Because a lot of our listeners are fans of Monkey. I mentioned that she was in this movie called The Monkey King.
Yeah.
That was 2001.
An egg on the mountain.
Unfortunately, that version is not very good because too many changes to the story. But the one weird thing about it is that they put it out as a novelization. And in the introduction to the novelization, they quoted my webpage. Because, you know, I'm a big Monkey King fan.
You're a big monkey. I know you're a big monkey. Kirby.
Without crediting me or acknowledging me or making any... I have this YouTube video where we went to a thing in... Was it Shanghai? It was a Monkey King theme park.
Oh.
And my webpage, which I've taken down because I can't afford it, had a description that was lifted straight into the introduction to that novelization. And I'm still pissed.
Oh, dear. Sorry about that. Wasn't me, though, for a change. I sympathize with you, Kirby.
Thank you.
Right then, stuff come through on the YouTube feed. Joshua Dybul said, Trey didn't actually reveal anything at all about the plot, just his opinion on today's episode, just a bit of confusion there. And then he says, so no feedback on the current episode is welcome until invited. I'm guessing that's it. Now, has Debbie explained to Trey that it was just...
Yes, I did. Yes, I wrote a thing saying we weren't accusing him of doing spoilers, but his post would have encouraged spoilers. So we do request to everyone, not just him, no spoilers until the other side of the world has at least caught up with the episode. Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that once it's been broadcast everywhere, then...
Yeah, then go for it.
Put something up. Then people, if it's been on, people can avoid the spoilers if they don't want to see them.
Possibly. I'm a bit concerned as to why people have sort of got quite cross about that. I think you just need to write a banner at the top just saying, look, it's not just against any one person. It's the fact that that thread would have encouraged. But you just say, no, please don't put spoilers on here until it's been shown everywhere.
Please don't bait spoilers.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. That's the problem. That was what it was. But obviously...
I noticed Reese did pop a comment on the thread that I deleted, so I don't know what he said. I don't know if he was moaning about it or not. But sorry, he's going to be annoyed with me now, isn't he, old Trey? So, oh dear, doesn't listen to the show. It's a group. It's a group for he would be watching now, wouldn't he? It's a group for podcasting, isn't it, everybody? We just happen to talk about Doctor Who on the side when not podcasting. But next week we'll be watching Gremlins. Oh, sorry, no. We'll be watching the new episode of Doctor Who. And what are you laughing at? And though hopefully it'll be received a bit better than the one we've just reviewed. And maybe Isabella will be back to talk about it with us. And maybe Trey will not be cross with me anymore.
I'm looking forward to today's episode.
So am I. So, until...
Well, you've seen it.
Oh, let me finish. What?
You've seen it.
I thought you meant today's episode as in talking about today's episode. Sorry, I'm getting confused.
To actually see it.
Yes. When are you going to see it, then?
Not quite sure. Right. Sometime this evening.
Oh, good. So until next week, thank you for listening to the show and watching it, those of you that did dabble on the YouTube feed, where it looks like it seems it works, will probably remain. Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
The 20MB Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.